What's going on, Clipper Nation? It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And positive, Chuck Bachler. And
we're here with Locked on Clippers with a strange new voice. The voice that you're hearing is going to be Carl Tart, UCB performer, TV guy.
Yeah, Television's own.
Television's own. That's crazy that that's, you don't even know that people say that, right?
Yeah.
Oh, you do know that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I don't know why that has been a thing, but.
Once you're on TV, TV, you
TV's
know.
TV's called Tart.
That's your parent at that point.
Local funny man.
There you go.
We've given one word things for our announcer name for the podcast. What would yours be?
So you're positive Chuck Mockler.
Mm-hmm.
William the Opinion Updike, and this is what our let's call this a
it's your radio host name.
Party Carl Tart.
Party Carl Tart. Okay,
love it.
We are here with Party Carl Tart because it's kind of a rivalry week here on Locked On Clippers.
Yeah,
ish, and he has an interesting fandom where you love LeBron.
Love him.
Absolutely love him.
Absolutely love him. He is my favorite player of all time. Shaq is a very close second.
Yeah.
Wow, very conflicted.
Which is interesting because as he sits before us, he's absolutely decked out in Clippers gear.
Yeah. Full Clippers gear.
Yeah.
Huge Clippers fan. We're going to talk to him about his fandom, kind of what it means to be a modern fan, especially in this current rivalry.
And it's Wednesday, so we have a what could have been for you.
Which, of course, is going to involve LeBron and the Clippers. And then talking some Ty Lue signing stuff, as well as maybe reminiscing on those Sterling Affairs tapes.
Yeah.
Did you listen to it?
Yeah, I listened to it. I'm about halfway through the last episode right now.
I'm behind. I actually had work to do today. So.
I knew all this stuff already.
That's what Charles was saying.
That's my thing, is that like, we can start with the Donald Sterling stuff because someone described it as an expose to us. It's not.
It's not. Shout out to Mick Minnis, man. The Clipper, the curse.
Yeah.
That he wrote. I talked to him on Twitter too. We DM'd a bit. He really exposed all this stuff, and he really went into depth with what it was like. I think this should have been a 2-hour documentary series.
It should have been on video.
I want to see these videos. One thing I love about 30 for 30s, the movie versions of them, is the clips that you don't always see.
Of course.
Yeah.
And so I want to see that press conference with Donald Sterling. And as I was listening to that first episode where they were going through the 1981 press conference when he bought the San Diego Clippers, I looked it up on YouTube. It's not there. I'm like, I want to see that. I want to see what this crazy fool looks like as a young man. Like,
such a character. Oh, I didn't even think about that.
That was my thing, because they mentioned that he was a gymnast in high school, which is just absolutely hilarious to think about.
Yeah.
But I don't know what young Donald Sterling looks like, so all I pictured was old Donald Sterling doing gymnast stuff, and it would have been nice to have some context to what this rich billionaire looked like when he was young.
There's all these images, these mental images that the book paints and that this podcast paints about him, like, buying, when he first bought the San Diego Clippers.
Yeah.
He bought billboards, not to promote the team, but to promote himself.
Yeah.
With his face on the billboard smiling like, Donald Sterling, the new owner of your San Diego Clippers.
Let me see those.
Yeah, I want to see that. I want to see what people thought about it. I want to see what the news said about the San Diego Clippers. I want to see all that stuff, because this is such an interesting story that I do not, it's
almost surface level. The podcast is almost a little too surface level, where it's like, there's so much news footage that we all watch.
Yeah. There's definitely just footage of him too doing
whatever
weird
the
stuff.
Hell. Yeah.
There has to be. I want to see that Sports Illustrated cover that he, like, I want to see all of that stuff. I want, like, I feel like some of the stuff that we've gotten out of 30 for 30s is like stuff that we don't necessarily super care about.
For sure.
But no, I know exactly what they were reaching at a certain point where it's kind of like,
and I still love them.
Yeah.
I watched most of them, you know? But like, this is a disservice, I do think. And I'm going to name drop a bit.
Feel free, sir.
There's a show at UCB called ASCAT. And we have it's usually like a celebrity guest who comes and does monologues, and we do improv based off those monologues. Well, one night we got Baron Davis.
Oh, that's fantastic. Was Laura Dern there?
Laura Dern was not there. That was after they broke up.
Okay.
Damn.
At this time, he was dating another person's friend.
Okay.
That is another.
Sounds like you can't drop that name.
I know. Yeah. I forgot her name.
Okay.
And we talked. She was there, and we talked for a while. But I chatted with him. Like, it was super cool because I told him I was an LA Hooper.
Mm-hmm.
we talked about, like, he roasted me for the high school I went to because we were always, like, the whack high school.
What high school did you go to?
I went to Hamilton High School, which is on the west side. And we were known for not being good in sports because it's a performing arts academy.
Yeah, that checks
out.
And so,
literally, like, I was telling him, I was like, yo, I'm from L.A. too. I hooped, like, I grew up at Robertson Park with this dude. He was like, oh, hell yeah, I know, homie, I know. Like, it was just, like, bonding because we come from the kind of a similar background. He was like, where'd you hoop at in high school? And I was like, I played at Hamilton. He was like, oh, y'all was out there dancing and singing, huh? and I'm just like, yeah, that's, like, you know, it's all
that's
good.
True,
like,
yeah.
It's true, yeah. We was. I played the saxophone. But, yeah, like, I was telling him, I was like, yo, man, I got this idea. Like, I know you doing production and stuff now, and I know you trying to get into comedy and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to go in on this Donald Sterling 30 for 30.
It's like it almost needs to be a movie.
Yeah. I want more stories from the players. I don't want to keep hearing the same stories that I've heard over and over again.
Yeah.
I want to get, like, there has to be more. So I grew up with Marcus Johnson's younger set of kids.
Okay.
And one day we were over his house. Y'all know, everybody knows King Josiah from Twitter. But he was older than us.
Not
his younger brothers, who were my age, Josh and Mo, shout out to them. We were one day over his house, and he was telling us a story about Donald Sterling, how Christmas 1985.
Oh, God.
He got a Santa Claus at the Christmas party, and he made every player sit on Santa Claus's lap.
He was like, sit on his damn lap.
Yeah, sit on his damn lap. And Marcus Johnson's like, I'm not about to sit on this 5'8" white dude's lap. I'm 6'9".
For another, like, 5'8" white dude.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not about to. And he was just like, you're sitting on his damn lap. Like, he made the players sit on his lap and take pictures. And Marcus Johnson was like, I kept that picture now. Yeah. He like ripped the picture up.
Of course. That's what I think is so hard about it, because he's such a repugnant dude.
Yeah.
That I also don't blame those players for wanting to be like, I don't. Like, Olden Polonese. That quote, when he's getting called a young buck, and he goes, I was thinking, man, what the? That's the most genuine what the fuck I've ever heard in my life. And I can see guys not wanting to revisit that.
It's also stuff that I'm sure, like, is so demoralizing to live through that, like, you're not really eager to share that story with somebody.
But still, there's got to be more stuff. Even just, like, Baron Davis' story. To die.
I feel like they're waiting on him to die.
I swear to God, I thought he was dead today.
Charles thought he was dead.
I was like, we haven't heard anything. No. I know he's probably not dead, but I had to look it up.
That dude's going to live to 150, I bet you.
What is he doing?
He's the devil.
What do you think he's doing right now?
Chilling. Being mad.
What is it about weird racism that keeps people alive for so long?
I know.
It's bizarre.
It's the fuel that fires it.
General Robert E. Lee lived to be 219 years old.
General Robert E. Lee is Donald Sterling.
Yeah.
So that's it's funny we started with the Donald Sterling stuff, because we were just kind of talking about none of where we're at right now with Kawhi and Paul George would have happened without Stefano's Instagram.
Without V. Stiviano.
V. Stiviano's Instagram specifically.
Instagram specifically. And I think I'm a little off mic topic, but I think it might work. I know it's going to be other comedians there, but I think this might work.
Yeah.
But anyway. So... V. Stiviano broke the whole thing, and it always takes... I'm about to start sneezing. It always takes somebody like that to bring down the whole...
Of course.
To either build an empire or bring it down.
It's always the side.
Yeah.
It's always the side.
It's always the side chick. And he had so many in the past.
Bless you, sir.
V was not scared of him.
Not at all. She called him on Christmas Eve and argued with him.
Yeah.
At family dinner.
It's great.
She was so, like... She was weirdly such a powerful figure in all of this, in the, like, dropping everything and like recording everything, that it's just like, it's absurd we're at the point we are now because of her.
Yeah. And he goes on CNN like, if she really cared for me, she wouldn't have released the tapes. What?
Come on, man. That's a fantastic segue. We're going to go into the next segment, talk about Carl's current fandom. Given the LeBron relationship and the Lakers relationship. But first, I want to give a shout out to Locked On Fantasy Football. Carl, you play fantasy football. Are you good at it?
I am good at it.
He is good.
I played in 5 leagues last year, won 2 of them, lost badly in 2 of them, lost in the championship in the next one.
Well, the ones that he won, he listened to Locked On Fantasy Football for. So go ahead and check out Locked On Fantasy Football.
Good. All right.
Welcome to the next segment. Segment 2, I guess. There's no real structure today.
There's no structure.
Let's talk about your fandom.
Okay, so. I am originally from Mississippi, notorious state with not one professional team. We got a minor league baseball team.
Same with Montana.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was a sports orphan in kind of way. I was born into Saints fandom. Mm-hmm. My dad played for the Saints. But New Orleans also did not have a basketball team. Closest basketball team to us, I guess, at that time would have been the Atlanta Hawks.
Oof.
Yeah.
And at that time.
Yeah, they weren't nothing. Like, it was had a cool jersey, but they weren't nothing. So
yeah.
Baseball wise, watched Braves games, but when I really fell in love with the sport of basketball was when I moved to Los Angeles.
Makes sense.
And I started playing because I didn't play in Mississippi. In the South, most kids play football and baseball.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I played football and baseball. So it was like Saints, Braves, and when I moved to LA in 1998, my mom put me into the Big Brothers Big Sister program, and they would get tickets. And one thing Donald Sterling did do was donate a ton of tickets to inner city kids to try to fill.
Got to keep that image up while you're closing people's houses down.
Do you think that was for the tax rebate or something?
Probably.
100% actually. That's a really good call.
And that was around the time of that whole housing situation.
Yeah.
That was just him trying to be like, look, I'm charitable.
It's me, Don.
I'm going to throw a party because I donated the kids to the Boys and Girls Club. Call me Uncle Donnie, little black kids.
It's the weirdest shit.
Yeah. And so we would get Clippers tickets, Kings tickets. Laker tickets were too expensive at the time. So I went to a hockey game and a Clippers game before I ever went to a Laker game.
Yeah.
And I also, growing up a Saints fan, you kind of learn to embrace the underdog. And I can't remember who told me this, but it was like, it's more fun to root for the underdog because when they finally do win, it just gives you such a sense of pride.
It's that rut, that validation that I put in this time as a fan type thing.
And as much as I hated the Warriors, like, I understand why those fans would be happy about that.
That process.
No Warrior slander from me.
they got what they built. For the most part,
some slander from maybe some of the fans, which we talked about.
A lot of the fans. I got into a lot of Twitter arguments with Warriors fans because they kept defending it, which we probably will turn into as well after these next few seasons.
God, I hope so.
But yeah, I know. But I went to the Clipper game first. They were the lovable losers. They won the game that I went to.
That's what's up.
It was like Eric Pytowski playing. Keith Kloss was playing.
Keith Kloss. We've had lengthy conversations with Keith Kloss before. Interesting man. A lot of good stories.
He responds to everybody on Twitter.
Oh, yes. Gaseous Clay.
And I was just like, I'm going to support this team. And it was also about, like, I think it also took, like, me being different. So I had this thick Southern accent. And the Lakers were just getting good at that time. But I love Shaq. Because people used to call me Baby Shaq because I was a little kind of a thicker kid who used to work in the post real hard.
Yeah.
And people go,
shout out to Carl in the post.
I also still don't bend my knees when I shoot people. And that was just always a joke, like, bend your knees, bend your knees. And I still like shoot all arm, even to this day, even being out of the post. But I was like, I'm gonna support this team. And when they get good, it'll be great. Like, and I did. And then it got cool to support them in 2001.
Right on that upswing.
Yeah, when they had Lamar Odom, Elton Brand, Darius Miles, Q Rich, Keon Dooling, all these players, and they were just a hip hop team.
They were in rap videos. Yeah, that was also when in the early 2000s there was that crazy marriage between hip hop and basketball.
Basketball, yeah.
There was such
in a way that it hadn't been before.
For like, sure,
it was the throwback jersey. That guy.
Yeah, it was Fabulous to start the whole thing.
Fabulous. And then Allen Iverson.
Yeah,
basically
AI,
changing like that. And so at that point, it was like, if you watch the Hey Ma video, it's like Dame Dash is in that video with a Clippers hat on.
Yep.
And there's some dude in the back with a Clippers jersey on. You got a
Elton backwards Brand Clippers jersey.
Yeah. And so it was just like, all of a sudden, the Clippers are now kind of cool, even though they're still a bad team.
Yeah.
And they're still LA's second team.
Yeah.
And I just kind of rolled with them through all that time. But also in 2002, New Orleans finally got a squad.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and they got this kid a couple years later named Chris Paul, who I was like, oh, this dude is sick.
Yeah.
Like, loved him. And he was, so I was like, oh, I got a second team now. I got a second team to root for. And so I kind of split time between, because the Clippers were very bad. And it's hard to, honestly,
sometimes you don't want to watch the game.
Yeah.
It's just true. And I understand loyalty, 100%. But sometimes when you watch a team play horribly and have an owner who is a horrible person, it's difficult to just strap up and watch 82 games.
I didn't know anything about that. I genuinely did not know anything about the Donald Sterling stuff.
Of course.
Until everything blew up.
Because think about how...
I really did not either. I heard things, I guess, but I did not realize the extent.
Yeah.
Yeah, think about how news moves now.
Yeah, yeah.
It's absurd to think that none of this would have been known back in the day with just everything we have right now.
Absolutely. So, yeah, man. So while I'm currently supporting the...
You have like a intertwined stream of teams
that has
all come to a head this year. Yeah. That's what's so crazy.
Both of my teams are fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and there have been spurts of fun, both of those teams. Like, the Tyson Chandler, Chris Paul years. And then, of course, like, 05 with Coutinho and all those guys.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun. Sean Livingston. I was live watching that game when he got hurt. Like, oof. I had just come back from my own basketball practice. It was disgusting.
Yeah.
Luckily, my TV was too bad for me to really see it. It was like the TV.
People didn't think he was going to walk again.
Yeah.
That shit's crazy.
Yeah.
So then
got his leg amputated or something.
So then you became a LeBron fan because LeBron is the best basketball player.
He was dope. I was 13 when he came into the league, like 13, 14 years old. He was just a tad bit older.
Yeah, literally. A year and a half older.
I wore a headband. Like him, I was just like, oh, this kid is dope. As soon as he came in, just like bodying grown-ass men. And I also didn't like Kobe. Never liked Kobe.
Never liked Kobe. Okay.
Never.
Well, that's fair.
Yeah.
He's a bad man.
Yeah, I mean, besides all that stuff, but like, I just never liked him on the basketball court.
Yeah.
I don't like selfish play. And LeBron came in, and I was just waiting for him to just like usurp
everybody.
Kobe. Yeah. And so I just followed him. And that was also at the time where none of my favorite teams were good.
Of course.
And so I'm just
and Cleveland was
guy.
Underdog too. Because you're watching
underdog too, yeah.
Cleveland maybe is only second to the Clippers in overall shittiness.
Yeah. So I'm kind of at this time still rocking Clippers t-shirts and hoodies and still, you know, got the occasional New Orleans Hornets shirt on or whatever.
Yeah.
But like
it's a loose Hornets
shirt. Yeah. But like I'm just like kind of a basketball fan.
Yeah.
You know, I'm rooting for the Kings when they're playing against those Lakers teams.
Which I feel like is kind of what modern fandom, I saw the term millennial fan thrown around, which kind of pissed me off for some reason. But it is true because we have these attachments more so to players now because they're so powerful.
Yeah.
As opposed to teams, which really dictated what people liked.
And I tell you this, the way I rooted for the Kings back then, even though Shaq played on the Lakers, I didn't care. But now I'm in a really weird place, which is I know what y'all wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
I overlap. I'm in the weirdest place ever because LeBron gets so much unnecessary hate that I would agree with him to succeed. But now that I'm just like, I think this is the first time in my life and since he's been in the league where I'm like, I'm okay with LeBron losing. I'm getting confident in the idea that he's my favorite player and he's going to be my favorite player.
No matter what.
I'm always going to ride for him. But I want the Clippers to beat them.
Yeah.
Especially because it's still, I was talking to a fan the other night, a Laker fan who don't like LeBron.
I was going to say, so this was a question we wanted to ask. Do you feel like the Lakers underappreciate LeBron?
Absolutely.
We knew the answer before,
100%.
I've seen you go up, Kevin.
Yeah.
Shout out Kevin Macias. Hates LeBron James.
It's
wanted to trade him for AD.
Me. Insane to me.
It's really that entitlement that gets me. It's because, like, look, your team wins 16 championships. I can understand being cocky.
Yeah.
100%. I hope we win 16 championships so I can be a cocky 65-year-old.
Yeah.
Whatever the hell I'm going to be when it happens.
And I hope Giannis comes to the Clippers and I'm like, Giannis, I don't want him.
Exactly. But right now, it's like with everything LeBron's done, it's just like, and with how the Lakers especially have been the last 6 years,
bro,
what did you want to happen? He rushed back from injury for you guys.
Let's even put LeBron to the side.
Okay.
The way they treat Dwight Howard is like this man is public enemy number one, and like he was the reason that the Lakers had a bad season.
To be fair, he did refuse how to shoot free throws from Steve Nash.
Fair enough.
But
I'm not saying that
he's not saying Dwight's perfect.
Dwight yeah, right. By no means. But this utter hate for him and just completely ignoring the fact that Kobe was still trying to throw up 70 shots a game when he knew he couldn't.
Yeah.
Like,
Steve Nash should not have still been in the league.
Come on,
he was like,
Steve Nash was cool.
I mean, he was cool.
But
yeah,
towards those end of that Lakers games, when he was posting up Dirk on the baseline, it was like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
Like, this is so clearly for the fans.
Yeah.
So do you find yourself, it's just got to be tough. So do you follow Lakers news at all, or is it just
you
kinda
the have to.
Because he is the news.
Yeah. You kind of have to. In L.A., like, there is no Clippers radio. Like,
hey,
ESPN.
You know what? You're damn right there isn't Clippers radio. If only there was guys hosting the Daily Show.
Thank you. We need that. On AM radio.
I'll take it.
We need to buy a station and make it a Clippers radio.
How much does that cost?
Probably a lot these days.
We just need a ham radio and an extra long cord.
Bro, there has to be a way that we could go and propose to the Clippers that we start some AM Clippers radio.
Ballmer wants a media company. Coming up after this break, we're going to be talking maybe some Ballmer media company ideas, some Ty Lue talk, who knows? Want to give a quick shout out to Locked On NFL, not the fantasy football one, just good old-fashioned football news, helmet news, AB's feet, who knows? One more time, shout out Locked On NFL. So we're buying a radio station.
Yeah, AM somewhere down the dial, AM 1290.
Yeah. We're driving to Downey every day to host.
Yeah.
Because that's the only one
that's
available.
That's where we need to be on the beach. San Pedro, maybe.
Do you think the Clippers can ever do anything? Is there ever going to be a time when they're not out of the shadow of the Lakers?
No.
I kind of agree.
I also agree.
Not in Los Angeles. This is a Laker town.
Which is not the Clippers' fault.
No.
No. I mean, like, I think it'll always attract the same kind, like the same people. I think there'll be some more bandwagoners or whatever you want to call them, like as the Clippers are successful or are not successful.
True.
But I think that it'll never surpass the Lakers, but I do think it will be different. Like having like our own arena and space. I do think something will change.
Again.
Fundamentally.
Donald Sterling ruined everything.
Yeah, we could have been first billing.
We could have been first billing at the Staples Center. That could have been the Kings and Clippers Arena.
Yeah, and he was like, I want to go to Anaheim.
Yeah, baby. Yeah. He didn't even want to go to Anaheim. His negotiation tactics ruined every deal.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And AEG was like, fine, we're going to buy a piece of the Lakers.
You're an idiot.
Yeah. And now it's going to be their arena. And now in the NBA 2K ad, we got Kawhi Leonard standing in front of 16 Lakers banners.
Yep. That's terrible. So what would be the Carl Tart Clippers what would be the party Carl Tart Clippers redesign?
Logo wise?
Everything wise. You got a full rebrand in mind?
We could start with logo/jerseys, and then if Steve Ballmer is handing you the keys, say we're rebranding the whole thing.
Okay. First things first, the logo is trash currently.
Agreed.
Yeah,
it's boring.
The logo is a high school logo.
It's a high school logo. Barely even a high school logo. I think it's a nursing home logo.
That old lady team that was viral a couple years ago had that logo.
Lake Alton Community Homes. That's what it looks like. And so that's getting changed. As far as changing the name of the Clippers, because Donald Sterling didn't pick that name, I'm fine with keeping it.
Okay.
However, one thing I learned on the podcast today was that in Shelley Sterling's selling of the show, of the team, she demanded that they get 3 championship rings if the Clippers win. She demanded being known as owner emeritus of the Clippers. And so it's like, just even for that sake, change that name. Because I'm not rocking with Shelley either. She was complicit.
That podcast paints Shelley in the craziest light. She literally dressed up in disguises as like to evict
people, yeah.
Black people in Koreatown.
Yeah, and then and then goes, that man was so scary. He had a big dog, and he was a hoarder. And it's just like, lady.
Oh, really? No, you bought some low-income housing, and there was a person who maybe didn't have everything going on together?
Exactly.
Shocked.
Yeah. So
for that sake, change the name.
Change the name. That way, that's a loophole, I feel like.
Do you have any name
what
ideas?
What name?
What's popping in L.A.?
So my thing is, I want a historical, you know, something about the settlement of L.A.
Yeah.
The Pobladores, something like that. Like,
what about going back to the Braves?
I don't think that'd be PC in 2019.
Yeah, you can't do that. Can't do anything.
Not with a team owned by Donald Sterling formerly.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Like the Vaqueros would be sick. Vaqueros, like some like cowboy type shit.
Like something like that. Taft High School.
Yeah.
Torridors. I'd be down.
I like the Laborers. Just because there's like strong unions in L.A. I don't know why. I like the idea.
Or we take the Hollywood High name and we become the Sheiks.
Ah. I think that's also.
Yeah, that might not work.
Rough.
Yeah. That might not work.
I don't know. I gotta think on some names. Y'all gotta have me back on, and we'll have a list of names
too. Oh, absolutely.
Or I'll send y'all one. But I do agree with you. Like the settler, like meant like those the missions. The
There's LA so much history like, that no yeah. LA team is named after. Missionaries? Yeah. No LA team is named after anything involving the history.
The Santas.
That'd be great.
The Saints.
So
the Saints. I'm down for that. I love football. Like LA Saints.
So let's talk about some actual current Clippers news. This is coming out on Wednesday, but we got the news late Tuesday night. Are you psyched on Ty Lue officially signing?
Rob Perez on Twitter made a joke about him being a spy for LeBron, and it made me go like, I believe it.
It's a conspiracy theory. I think
what if it's the opposite?
Will was saying that he was like, I don't think Ty Lue's going to come in with some psychological profile of LeBron day one. I said, yes, he is.
Yeah.
Ty Lue is the secret.
Yeah.
We have the key. He could lock the door or open it, is what it feels like.
That's so interesting. After what happened to him, after the Lakers balked in on that, like, and then the Clippers hire him.
Yeah,
that is a move.
It is that's what makes the rivalry even crazier than it's ever been. Other than that we're all in contention.
Yeah,
we took your dude.
Yeah,
we got him.
After y'all, I mean, they kind of pulled a Donald Sterling move.
They did.
It's like, I'm not gonna.
We'll give you 3 years.
Yeah.
3 years and your replacement's right to the left of you.
Yeah.
A lot of people keep saying on Twitter they're worried that Kalamian's going to leave or we're going to lose an assistant coach because of this. But I don't think Ballmer is adverse to paying people to work for the team.
Ballmer spends that bread. That's one thing I like about him.
He does what Donald Sterling was. There was a quote. I can't remember what it was said, but they were like, I think it was maybe Ryan Hollins, where he was like, when the team usually gets good, most owners are like, whatever. You do it, I'm going to back up.
Yeah.
And Dallas Sterling was like, oh, it's going good.
trying to get in here.
Let's put a stick in these front spokes.
Yeah, like, exactly.
And Ballmer's the perfect one because he's just like, you guys know what you're doing. Here's a bunch of money.
Yeah.
Keep doing it.
I'm glad Doc stepped down.
Yeah.
From GM.
He did hire Lawrence Frank, which was his best move as GM.
Yes.
Which I feel like is an underrated. He made a lot of bad moves. But there's some good ones in there.
Guys, where could the team move that would separate us from the Lakers?
Palmdale.
Oh, too far. Too far. I just think Long Beach.
Mm. A riverfront stadium would be dope.
Too far.
Too far.
Let's go Santa Monica.
Oh, Santa Monica Clippers?
Yeah.
I guess the name works.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a bold name. We unfortunately have to wrap this up. Carl Tart.
That quick.
30-minute daily, man.
Did we get through everything?
Eh, for the most part. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me. This is a blast.
We are going to have Carl Tart on some streams this year.
Yes.
After some away games we're going to talk about. We're probably going to have him on another time.
We got to get him back on the pod.
If he wants to drive down to Torrance and record in the office, we can make it happen.
Oh, man. I'm busy that day.
Guys, thank you so much for listening on iTunes on Himalaya. I've been Positive Chuck Mockler.
I've been William the Opinion Updike.
And I'm Party Carl Tart.
Talk to you guys later.